Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 1, text 133. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Gaur Bhakta Vinda, Snana Yatra Deki Prabhu Shange Bhakti Gan, Sabaloya Kaila Prabhu Gundicha Marjana. After seeing the bathing ceremony of Lord Jagannath, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washed and cleaned Sri Gundicha temple with the assistance of many devotees. Om Gyanatimarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Taksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Adadanas Janandante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimad Rupa Padam Bhoja Tulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yug Bhakti Risham Payatnai Apayam Amanabipsanandam Kripam Buhiya Paraduka Duki Sanatanistam Prabhumastayami Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayebhacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So greetings from Visan Falls, where I have my little place where I stay. And we're continuing the discussion and of the Madhya Lila part one. I was also thinking, it's actually been doing this now for almost 9 months, practically without fail. That's kind of quite a lot of classes, and it's kind of nice when something continues steadily. It gains some momentum or strength. And of course, there are always challenges to doing that. On Wednesday, I gave a class on Krishna Janmashtami instead of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. And the Wednesday before that on Balaram's appearance day, Balaram Purnima. And I think in the week after next, I'll give a class on Wednesday about Srimati Radharani, maybe again on the following Sunday. One thing I want to do, because it was Srila Prabhupada's appearance day, and one great appreciation of Srila Prabhupada is that he's the service he's performed by presenting the Vaishnav community in the English world this wonderful Chaitanya Charitamrita. And amazing thing, it was, I know the story, it was just amazing that it was, you know, put out so quickly, so really, really get things done. But I wanted to read one of his purports from the discussion we'll have today, and we can certainly meditate as if Srila Prabhupada is directly speaking to us from the spiritual world, because what is Sadhu Sangha anyway? Sadhu Sangha, really, first class Sadhu Sangha means to hear from someone who you consider more spiritually advanced or as advanced or has, anyway, anywhere Krishna can appear. I always remember the story of the old mailman in New York, Dadu, who we have so much affection for. He's the devotee mailman. He gets the mail and that comes into the temple and delivers it to all the devotees. And he's been a Vaishnava for so many, so many years. And he was appreciating so much the katha in the temple in 1995 when Tamal Krishna Maharaj was staying there and Giriraj Swami was staying there and Satsarup Maharaj was staying there and I was speaking and Bhuri Jam Prabhu. And then lately the katha hasn't been that same standard. And he would complain a little bit to me. And I would ask him, why do you keep on listening? Why do you keep on going? He said, because he said my guru, he got initiated 40, 50 years ago, he said, my guru told me that who's ever speaking, you go to hear. He said, you never can tell where Krishna is going to appear because Dadu is much more advanced than me. So I just want to read, because this is basically one of the parts we're up to, but I was reading this morning, so Prabhupada's purport, he said, the verse was, thus there was a sort of competition between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Jagannath in seeing who would lead. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so strong that he made Lord Jagannath wait in his car. So this is the Rath Yatra. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go behind the Rath Yatra car, then the Rath Yatra car would stop. And then when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would go in front of the car, then the car would stop again. So Prabhupada's explaining this in his translation of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's purport. So let's hear Prabhupada. And this is Prabhupada. Prabhupada, what is a person? A person is more than the form. Prabhupada always taught, you're not the body. More than the form, a person is his heart. And it's his mood, it's conceptions, it's his love, it's his feelings. So to associate with Prabhupada, we can associate with his commentary. So he writes, in his Anubhash Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur describes the ecstasy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as follows. After giving up the company of the gopis in Vrindavan, Sri Krishna, the son of Maharaj Nanda, engaged in his pastimes at Dwarka. When Krishna went to Kurukshetra with his brother and sister and others from Dwarka, he again met the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Radha Bhava Dyuti Shuvalita. That is, Krishna himself assuming the part of Srimati Radharani in order to understand Krishna. Lord Jagannath Dev is Krishna. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's leading Jagannath towards the Gundicha temple corresponds to Srimati Radharani's leading Krishna towards Vrindavan. Sri Kshetra Jagannath Puri was taken as the kingdom of Dwarka, the place where Krishna enjoys supreme opulence. But he was being led by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan, the simple village where all the inhabitants are filled with ecstatic love for Krishna. Sri Kshetra is a place of Aishvarya Leela, just as Vrindavan is the place of Madhurya Leela. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, following at the rear of the Rath, indicated that Lord Jagannath Krishna was forgetting the inhabitants of Vrindavan. Although Krishna neglected the inhabitants of Vrindavan, he could not forget them. Thus, in his opulent Rathayatra, he was returning to Vrindavan. In the role of Srimati Radharani, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was examining whether the Lord still remembered the inhabitants of Vrindavan. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu fell behind the Rath car, Jagannath Dev, Krishna himself, understood the mind of Srimati Radharani. Therefore, Jagannath sometimes fell behind the dancing of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to indicate to Srimati Radharani that he had not forgotten. Thus, Jagannath would stop the forward march of the Rath and wait at a standstill. In this way, Lord Jagannath agreed that without the ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, he could not feel satisfied. While Jagannath was thus waiting, Gaurasundar, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his ecstasy of Srimati Radharani, immediately came forward to Krishna. At such times, Lord Jagannath would proceed ahead very slowly. These competitive exchanges were all part of the love affair between Krishna and Srimati Radharani. In that competition between Lord Chaitanya's ecstasy for Jagannath and Jagannath's ecstasy for Srimati Radharani, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu emerged successful. So Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So Prabhupada's giving us so much. He's not only giving us the conceptions on how to reach the absolute truth, but very uniquely, Srila Prabhupada is also offering us the facilities to do so. And the greatest facility to do so is the transcendental literature in the line of the six Goswamis, in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he so painstakingly translated. When I was in Vrindavan, the first place that I lived in Vrindavan was in the guest house, because at that time, before, I suppose, partly, Prabhupada has a great responsibility for making Vrindavan so popular. But we couldn't get anybody in the guest house, and therefore, even when I first came, and they put us in the guest house, and I was in a room on the top. And when I would wake up in the morning, and I would try to wake up early, like 2 or 3 o'clock, when I'd wake up in the morning, I would look outside my window, and I can see Srila Prabhupada on his porch, with his, 16 commentary Bhagavatam, his books, looking at a verse, reading all the purports, meditating, and then dictating. So it was such an amazing, and it was also interesting to see Prabhupada that although he was doing so much, he never really looked so passionately overwhelmed or busy. I think Shruti Kirti said that even after, waking up, or he'd play harmonium, he'd meet people. It was just he did his duty, and he had faith in Krishna. It's only really the false ego, or the desire to control, really, that really, it's not the only thing that makes us busy, but it's certainly for someone who's a sannyasi and a sadhaka, that could be one factor, and Prabhupada didn't have that, and he was just so peaceful. And I'm just remembering, I remember one time Prabhupada came out of his room outside of Kartik. Kartik, devotees didn't come during Kartik. No one came. They came once a year to Vrindavan in Gaur Purnima. No one that came other than that, basically. And so I remember I was there, and after that, and Prabhupada, during Kartik, he would sit, and he would, very interesting, he would hear kirtan in the courtyard, and then he would listen, he would ask his different disciples to speak. And he would sit, and he would hear their own lectures. And I remember how impressive it was. Prabhupada asked someone to speak spontaneously. And they would just, really just very, very nice. And then there was kirtan. So I'm remembering also Prabhupada in Vrindavan in Kartik also. I'm going to go today's text. I thought I would say something like that. So so now we're this wonderful synopsis. Synopsis is Prabhupada's translation for sutra. Sutra means an aphorism, a short statement where greater meaning is codified. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, in his K. compassion. A very old man could die at any moment. And his compassion, you know, when he starts the Madhya Lila, he codifies the whole pastime. And what I'm doing is I'm going further on in reading so I could crack the code. But I guess the great souls, they can read these verses and it's impregnated with the full meaning. So he's come, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu now has come back to, he's come back to Puri. And it's such, I mean, a wonderful scene. Some devotees also commented on that meditation of King Prataparudra. I think it's near Narendra Sarovara. It's as you come into Puri. And when he first sees the two Bengali devotees, led by the Bengali devotees coming into Puri, and he sees the 200 Mahabhagavats, Srivas Thakur, Vaidyacharya, the Vakreshwara Pandit, 200 Mahabhagavats. What to speak to see one Mahabhagavat? We would watch Prabhupada just drink a glass of water. And see how Nitya Madhurya, as Lord Nityananda was dancing, it's Madhurya. Why? Why is it sweet? What is sweet? Sweet is love. And when something moves out of affection, it's beautiful. So one is fully immersed in love of Godhead, then he does not move out of passion. He moves out of pure goodness. He moves out of love. And everything he does, therefore, is the embodiment of love. And to see 200 such people, because what do you not only see them individually, you see them relating to each other. What we missed among Prabhupada is that Prabhupada was alone. We did not see him so much exchange love with his godbrothers. Although one time we saw that very clearly. My dear godbrother B.B. Govinda Maharaj related this to me. That, see, in that time, there weren't a lot of people around Vrindavan. I mean, I once was waiting in front of Prabhupada's room. I used to go to the Jamuna every day and do kirtan in the morning for 2 years. But one day, somehow, I got to stay back. And I waited for Prabhupada to come out for his walk. Prabhupada came out. There were only three people waiting for Srila Prabhupada. I remember by the front door, and then Prabhupada said, "Where are the devotees?" And the president or something said, "Prabhupada, they're busy serving." And Prabhupada said, "Wake them up." And Prabhupada walked to the front where they were doing construction. His samadhi wasn't there. There was some straw huts, and there was one devotee there named, I think, Dwijavar, a French devotee, who was in charge of that. And he was sleeping. And they woke him up, and Prabhupada walked right there. Imagine, like, just getting right out of bed and then just, like, seeing Prabhupada. And Prabhupada walked out the front gate, and he went to the Goshalib, which was called the Tapari House, which where the Grihasthas were living. And I followed Prabhupada, and he walked down the road. And when he got to the Goshalib, you know, I mean, I got there a little bit before him. Everyone was sweeping the front gate madly, you know. I remember the scene. Wake them up. So weren't that many devotees there. And one day, B.B. Govinda Maharaj saw Krishnadas Babaji at the front gate of the temple, of his house, trying to get in, but it was locked. B.B. Govinda Maharaj said, "You can go around the back." Because in Prabhupada's last days, I mean, imagine how merciful he was. In his last days, he just kept the doors open completely. You come in whenever you want at any time of the day. As opposed to initially where Tamal Krishna Maharaj's office was first, and it was such a protocol and a restriction of getting in. Prabhupada opened the doors to his mercy. So B.B. Govinda Swami kind of, after all, he said, "Hey, let me see what's happening." And he looked and he saw Krishnadas Babaji sitting on Prabhupada's bed, and they were laughing and laughing and laughing and laughing and joking. And then Prabhupada in ecstasy said, "Tundra charana seva bhakti sanivas, janame janame hoy, eh habilas." I wish the association of the pure devotees, birth after birth. You can imagine what it must be like for these exalted devotees. These mean that people who are selfless and absorbed in love and moving in love and devotion. We just had some glimpse of Prabhupada, 200 great Mahavan, and then they start to do kirtan. What must that kirtan be like when it is from the heart deeply, and it's so appropriate? So we've been introduced a little bit, and this is Prabhupada's mercy that he's given us this nectar. And then the bathing ceremony, and then Jagannath disappears, or he gets sick, and then after that he's going to go to the Gundicha, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu washes the temple. We read that wonderful pastime, how thoroughly and enthusiastically Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was preparing this temple for Lord Jagannath. And we got the, you know, this Chaitanya Charitamrita, it's not only telling the story in a leela to attract us to the pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but it's giving us the instructions on how to appropriately attain that. And it's filled with all these gems of instructions in the different stories. And if we hear this in the proper way, then we will get the correct understanding, and from the proper understanding comes the proper actions, and from the proper actions come the proper habit, and from the proper habit come the proper character, and from the proper character comes the right destination. So it all begins with hearing. So such a nice message. And it's not just a message, but it's an example of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And this, you're cleaning the temple. You are cleaning your heart, but at the same time, you're cleaning the temple. And the depth and the concentration and the thoroughness in which you do it is indicative of your desire to properly receive the Lord. So we get this wonderful message. If you want to receive Krishna, if one wants to receive Krishna, he must have a clean and pacified heart. Vishyacharya kabe shude habe man kabe hama heirabosh. When the mind is free from sense gratification and peaceful, then one could actually see Vrindavan. So it's so subtle, he's picking up. So it's analogous to the heart and all our anarthas. He's picking up, and you know, such subtle little grains and dust, etc., just make it spotlessly clean. And then when he cleans it, he does it a second time, and they're pouring from Narendra Sarovar. There's a big chain of people passing these pots of water, all the Vaishnavas in there, throwing it on the walls, the ceilings, and it's flowing out like a river. So he cleans it the second time because he wants to make his heart proper for Krishna to come. And that's the whole process of spiritual life. It's actually purifying the heart. We see that if we want to go deeper in spiritual life, what's preventing us? It's the motives we have, the extraneous desire, anartha, those things that are valueless. And especially not just desires we have that we need to keep to be integrated in our lives and a peaceful life of spirit, but the things that we're cheating, that we're keeping, that we actually should and can get rid of now. It's subtle, and he does it a second time. And then when he cleans, they wash the outside. They create an area of purity. They just want to make sure nothing gets in. And then what's the result? The marble is so cool and clean in the temple, and it creates a peaceful atmosphere to receive Krishna. And same thing in our mind. When the atmosphere is peaceful pure, then easily we can meditate on Krishna. So this message is there. And the next verse, Sabha Sangha Rate Yatta Kailo Darsana Rata Agre Nitya Kari Ujjane Gaman. After this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and all the devotees saw the Ratha Yatra, the car festival ceremony. So that itself is an incredible scene in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, really. Lord Chaitanya organizes these seven groups of kirtan. And you know, the first four groups, the dancers, Nitya Madhurya. Imagine the dancing of Lord Nityananda in one group, the dancing of Haridas Thakur in another group, the dancing of Advaita Acharya in another group, the dancing of Vakreshra Pandit in another group, and then the singers, Sarup Damodar in one group, Srivas Pandit in another group, Mukunda in another group, and then the Ghosh brothers, Vasudev Ghosh, Govind Ghosh, Madhava Ghosh. And then three more kirtan groups come from Kaliniagram, Shantipur, and so this whole ecstatic kirtan with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the middle of each party by his I guess he's God by his mystic power. Not only in the middle of each party dancing, but just like when Krishna takes prasadam with the cowherd boys as described in Brahma Vimohan Leela, by the nature of the spiritual potency, which is not restricted by time, neither time nor space, and where there's no restriction to the fulfillment of Krishna and the devotee's desire. So therefore, although it may seem an impossibility from the material sphere, which is under the modes of nature, every single devotee who's taking prasadam on the picnic with Krishna, whether it's billions of cowherd boys, are exchanging personally with Krishna and looking at him face to face. And same thing with the wonderful kirtan. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself dances in front of a car, and after dancing, he entered a garden. Katta Puru Dreve Kripa Koili Sheshtane Gaudiya Bhakte Agye Dila Vidayara Deen. In that garden, Lord Chaitanya bestowed his mercy upon King Prataparudra. So this is a really, it's an essential pastime in the Chaitanya Leela. I'm looking at these pastimes in the Chaitanya Leela, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, especially the Madhya Leela, which is entering, you know, goes to the Antya Leela. The Antya Leela is the goal. It's the Prema Pumartha Mahan. It's the full embodiment of this deepest prema. And how to get there? Well, the Gundicha Temple, we clean our hearts. It's no joke. You know, we have to come to that platform and work. We should be working on it. We should be looking at our hearts. And we should give up the fear that removing something from our heart, some desire from our heart, some attachment from our heart that is anartha. Not all attachments are anartha, necessarily. And depending on the stage of spiritual life you're into, some attachments you can keep and regulate, but some are definitely just anartha. They're valueless. They have no value. So giving up the anarthas. So we're seeing here in this particular story of King Prataparudra, it's a very huge story. It occupies like four or five chapters. He keeps on coming up, King Prataparudra. And I was thinking as an exercise, because I think I've told this story, we can see what are the points that are here to be gotten that help us to, you know, because he achieves success. He actually achieves his goal. And I think that's one of the messages in this, is that there's no obstacles to spiritual perfection. Real obstacles to spiritual perfection are internal, not external. No matter where we're at right now and where we see what obstacle is there, and perhaps the obstacle we're facing is only put in front of us to give us to help us develop the determination and inner strength to attain that goal. So in that sense, perhaps it's not even an obstacle in one sense. It may be an obstacle, but it's not. If that wasn't there, that external obstacle wasn't there, we would be with Krishna, we would be with Radharani immediately. Because it's a matter of consciousness. We're only separated from the spiritual by consciousness. And therefore, even Gopinathacharya, who's a great Vaishnava, he chastised Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And he said that even though, because initially he didn't recognize the position of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so his brother-in-law chastised, he said, even though you are directly in front of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Supreme Lord, you could not see him as such because you think of yourself as separate and independent God. So we can see the spiritual platform. The obstacle is internal, and the external obstacles are only to give one, to create in one the desire to actually achieve the goal. And it's that desire to achieve the goal that will make us successful. And we see in the king, his obstacle really seemed insurmountable. And what was his obstacle? That by his external social position, he could not associate. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would not associate with him. In fact, King Prataparudra, you know, he was in the Ratha Yatra festival. And in fact, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in such a fervor that the crowds were surrounding, so different circles of devotees would hold their hands to keep the crowd away from. It reminded me when I went to the 74 Rath Yatra. I still hadn't joined yet, although I was coming to Krishna consciousness for 4 years. You know, Prabhupada came down with his sannyasis, you know, and they were holding their dandas like it was a railing. I don't know who they were protecting Prabhupada from. But he was in the third circle. You know, he also joined that, but he couldn't get into the inner circle. There was some story also. I think that one of the devotees, kind of in their eagerness, they hit the Srivas Thakur, and Srivas Thakur turned around and slapped the devotee. And King Prataparudra, you know, said something to that devotee. No, it's the fortune of the eagerness to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But one time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing. He was dancing, and then all of a sudden he was spinning around, and he just collapsed, and he fell into the arms of King Prataparudra. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looked around and said, "I am condemned. I am condemned." This is also a very interesting side point about this pastime. That why it just shows you why, you know, in other words, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu could not associate with the king. So being the king was a disadvantage. And how a devotee looks at advantage and disadvantage. In one sense, everything's an advantage in terms of destiny. That's why I think Prabhupada said, you know, devotee, he has like a material and spiritual destiny. You can change your destiny, or you can spiritualize your life. In other words, devotee looks at his karma, one thing, is everything is sent to bring him closer to Krishna. He views everything like that. Everything is sent to bring one closer to Krishna. But from an external standpoint, the king, the king is, I explained this before, it's a simple point, he's Vishayi, he is ruling the subjects, and he keeps the accoutrements of power to inspire the materialistic subjects to respect him so that he can rule them properly. And therefore, as a service, he keeps the crown jewels. As a service, he keeps the palaces. As a service, he's surrounded by many women in the harem, etc. In other words, it helps him to rule. But for the sannyasi, in those days, they would not associate with such a person. They would not associate. So that was his obstacle. And that obstacle only created in him such a strong desire, such a strong desire to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that strong desire to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu attracted the mercy of his associates. That's the process of Krishna consciousness. It's our internal desire. In other words, we have to hear about Krishna and become attracted to Krishna. And we have to desire his service. And that strong desire will attract the mercy of the devotees, who will become merciful and compassionate to us. Seeing that need, and a compassionate person tries to satisfy others' proper needs. Someone even starving, he needs food, so he'll feel. If he has a proper need, he'll feel. These people are hungry, he'll feel. But when it's spiritual hunger, and when someone actually has that spiritual hunger, and he is dying in separation from Krishna, it really attracts. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he came, because King Prataparudra came to him. He was a prominent scholar, and I have to see, and he said, I'll speak on your behalf. And he went to very care, Chaitanya, do you mind if I ask you this question? And he started speaking about the king, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just said, he said that just like it doesn't, I don't care the substance, he may be a pure devotee, but the form itself is just something that I cannot associate with without ruining my reputation. He said, just like there's a wooden form of a woman, it may not be the substance, but the form itself, the sannyasi is staying shy from. He said, so I have my eye, he couldn't go. And Ramananda Roy, he was so satisfied because Ramananda Roy met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was working in such a prestigious position. And when he, very quietly and humbly asked the king, because he was a big administrator, Ramananda Roy, he said, yes, you can leave for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's very good. I give you full pension. And just even when Ramananda Roy said, do you think I can get leave to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Just hearing his name, he became in ecstasy. And Ramananda Roy is relating this to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and he says, I do not have a fraction of his life. He's really ready to give up that life that's an obstacle to your service. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's forced to reciprocate. Even though finally the king says he's going to give up, if he doesn't get the darshan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he's going to give up everything and just become a mendicant. And then there's a very, very interesting point where Damodar Pandit, who Chaitanya kind of has a relationship with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that he's very afraid that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will do things that perhaps belie his reputation. In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's spontaneous love, he may do something inappropriate. So he said, he asked Damodar, and even Damodar said, he's supremely independent. You're supremely independent, but you're dependent on the love of your devotees. And very independent is the position of the absolute reality. It's called swatantra. He's his own ruler. And so he's Paramaswatantra. He's the supreme independent. He's the supreme, has supreme autonomy. We had this seminar, we talked about this concept of rights. What is rights? It's your domain where you are independent and not ruled. And everyone has that domain to a certain limited degree. But we are not the Paramaswatantra. God has absolute rights. His domain is everything, and there's nothing that can restrict his domain. And this is why we're so upset, because we want that domain. We want a domain where we are completely autonomous, but we're not. We have a limited domain. That's the difference between us and God. He has that supreme domain. And this is why it's very difficult to, in one sense, to recognize spiritual life and come to spiritual life, because you have to recognize that point. And not only recognize that point, but open your domain or autonomy to the will of Krishna and Guru and the Vaishnavas. That's what spiritual life means. Spiritual life means to recognize your dependence. And because we're fighting against it, spiritual life, but the Supreme Lord is Prema Paratantra. He doesn't have domain at all. He loses his domain completely out of love for the devotees. He becomes completely under their control. And almost paradoxically, that increases his independence and supremacy. Because that's the height of personality. Anyway, I'm going on and on, but what happens is, so he's attracting, so this is, the obstacle is there, but the need is not checked. And that obstacle is only increasing the desire. I'll give up everything. Because I think even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, someone said, you're a great devotee. If I'm a great devotee, then how am I living here in separation from Krishna? So then, how? The compassion of the devotees. And because he had served the devotees, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard how he served the devotees, he said, I cannot associate with a king, but I'm sure he will get Krishna's mercy. And then gradually, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears that he's so upset that he's going to leave the kingdom, he feels I have to satisfy him. So what does he do? He sends cloth. And what is cloth? What is Krishna's cloth? Krishna's cloth is Krishna. It's Seshanag. It's Balaram. It's non-different. So he sends him the cloth, but then he's feeling, no, I have to reciprocate with him. He's a king. Socially, I cannot. But his heart is pulling me. And he's won the mercy of the devotees. So he calls for his son, because the son is the representative of the father. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in the Rathyatra. I'm going to finish with a little something about Prataparudra. He's in the Rathyatra. And then this great king, he's sweeping the cart, showing that he is not the king. I love this part in Vidura is preaching to his elder brother Dhritarashtra, who's sitting on the throne, has no power, but Yudhisthira's compassion, he's letting him sit on the throne. Why? Because he's Dhritarashtra. Rashtra means kingdom. Dhrita means very determined or attached to have a kingdom. And Vidura starts preaching. And one word that is significant is Rajan, O King. It's actually sarcastic, O King. And Prabhupada says, what in the purport, he quotes the English, the king who tried to stop the ocean or something, and it says, you know, time and tide wait for no man. Because we're not king, we're not controllers. And that's what death is. Death is the ultimate opportunity to give up the false ego. And what is the false conception of life? I am the controller. And what is death? If you're fortunate, as Prabhupada said, that that you get notice of it, then what is the experience of death? The experience is you to face it, to transcend it. You have to give up the false ego. That I am the controller. I am the enjoyer. Why? Because it becomes so. If you're in that desire, in that conception, you're miserable because the world is going completely against your desire. And therefore, the devotee, that death, he has that knowledge. He has that understanding. Let me give up the false ego. Let me accept it, and accept that I'm the servant of God, and this is His will, and I will accept His will, and I am confident that what He does is best, and He'll protect me, and He'll maintain. I guess that's basically what our whole life is. It's almost like a mini drama of dying, because the world is moving against our will because we're not the controllers of it. Anyway, so. In that consciousness, if you identify with the body, I am the king, I am the controller, then you can't recognize who is, nor can you get their mercy. And therefore, humble service with sincere heart, pada sevana, one of the items. Sevana means service, pada means the lotus feet. What does it mean? You only serve the lotus feet? No. It means you're so humble you serve the lotus feet. It's humble service, menial service. And as the king, he sweeps, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees this. Yes, this represents his heart. I have to give him my mercy. And then we've come up to today's verse, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes resting. The Rath cart stops. They're having a big feeding festival at that place, and it's, I believe it's called now the Jagannath Vallabha Gardens, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is Vrindavan, he goes in there, those gardens, and the king takes off his kingly dress, and he dresses as just a simple Vaishnav. And he goes in, and this was, I think, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's recommendation. He goes in and he starts to massage the feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who's tired. And then the king, from the bottom of his heart, starts to chant from the 31st chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, starting with the verse, Jayati Te Dikam. And then he's chanting these beautiful verses of the Gopi Gita. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is sitting there and he's massaging his feet, and then he sings Tava Katamvatam Tapta Jivanam Kavibir Iditam Kalma Shapaham Shravanamangalam Srimaratitam Bhuvi Gritantite Bhuvi Dajana. Tavakatam ratam, this nectar of Krishna, this kata is amrita, it's nectar, tapta jivanam. And it can extinguish the tapta, the fire of material existence. Kavibhya idatam. And it's spoken by the most learned and saintly poets. Kalmasapaham. And it extinguishes and finishes all the reactions to our previous sins. Shravana Mangalam. And hearing about it is the supreme auspiciousness. Srimaratitam. And it gives the greatest wealth and auspiciousness. Bhuvi Grinantiye to the whole world. Therefore, Bhuri Dhajana. That one who gives this is the most buri, jadajana. A person who gives this is buri. He's the most fortunate person. The most fortunate person is a person who shares Krishna consciousness with others. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu hears this song, he starts to sing it along with King Prataparudra, because it has so much meaning. He has that bhakti, and bhakti means this is your life. So he begins to sing, Tavakatam Ratam Tapta Jivanam Kavibhiditam Kalmasapaham Shravanamangalam Srimaratitam Bhuviganantite Bhuridajana. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks at King Prataparudra. Either he doesn't externally accept that he's the king because he's dressed as a Vaishnav, and he starts looking at him and says, Bhurida, 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 Jana, you are fortunate, Bhurida. He said, Bhurida, Bhurida, and he embraces him. He embraces him. Bhurida, Bhurida, you are fortunate, you are fortunate. So there's the obstacle, and there is the desire to overcome it, and that perhaps the obstacle increases it. That desire attracts the mercy of the Vaishnavas. And by the mercy of the Vaishnavas, you get the mercy of the Supreme Lord, and you're offered the humble service of the Lord, which attracts his mercy despite any apparent external obstacles. So we'll finish for today. Are there any questions? Gail, do you have a question?
It's funny, actually, when I was every last line of your lecture, because I was going to ask, actually, you know, when it comes to the external obstacle that King Prataparudra had, and the fact that that external obstacle kept him from getting Lord Chaitanya's mercy, despite his sincerity of heart, I was going to ask how that specifically is analogous to the situation of conditioned souls who are also sincere. For example, you know, what in the situation of conditioned souls is analogous to those external keep Lord Chaitanya away, despite the fact that conditioned souls...
A family, for example. So many children, right? It becomes so hard. Our jobs, our political situation, our health, so many things are there. And somehow they're there by Krishna's will. And his example is what I see is that his social position, and he even said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Patita Pavana. He's come to deliver all the fallen souls except King Prataparudra. Because his was practically the only social position which couldn't reach out to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Haridas Thakur was from a Muslim family. Govinda was from a Sudra family. His was the only social position. The king. So he was just in tears. But as we could see, of course, you have to understand what these levels of souls, you know, they're there to participate in Leela to help us understand certain examples. But still, the thing was there. His obstacle was there, and it was removed by his desire, and therefore his desire attracted the mercy of the great devotees whom he was able to serve. And that attracted the heart of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who started to make arrangements for him to receive his mercy. But in our position, if we were in that position, we may not be King Prataparudra, but if we had that desire and the obstacle was there, the obstacle is only to increase our desire. And therefore, it's the verse in the Bhagavatam that actually the obstacles become like the stepping stones. And desire can change a lot, even what's external. Anybody else like to say a question or say Hare Krishna?
Hi.
Hi.
Hello?
Who's that?
Aiden.
Aiden. Hare Krishna, Aiden. That's nice to hear from you.
I don't have any questions. I just wanted to say hi to you.
Go ahead. Good. I'll have to come visit you, Aiden. For those who don't know, Aiden is the son of Samantha, and sometimes he comes to my classes, and he takes a notebook, and he writes questions, but he's only 8 years old, so it's nice that such a young man was able to join our Sangha today, and Samantha, I will probably call you within the hour, because you called me yesterday, so thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Anybody else?
Maharaj?
Haribol?
Haribol, this is Madan.
Madan, Hare Krishna.
Haribol, I have a question, actually.
Please.
I'm thinking that there's something that's... I didn't think this question through, but it just came to me. So something about how in Vedic times, so to speak, the kings would have been guided by Brahmins. I can't think of a specific example, but for some reason I have the impression that there are, you know, stories of kings who were visited by traveling mendicants or great sages who are
right.
renounced.
That's true.
So I just wonder why, you know, why there couldn't be license in that idea for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to associate with the king.
That's a good point. All I would say offhand is that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took, they may have been sages and been renounced, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas.
Right.
And he also took sannyas in the Advaita line, and the whole path is vairagya, which means to, you know. So, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very, very strict in that. And there was other verses that in this, because I was reading the purports, interested, that, you know, said, like, you know, a sannyasi, relevant, but even a hint of impropriety is like a black spot on a white cloth.
Yeah,
and you know, it was like, I mean, I'm trying to think back there and trying to get some relevance, but there was something about the social structure that was a bit fixed, and it would, in other words, and the purpose of that was so that people didn't have to negotiate their identity. There was kind of like what's called a socialization, and the purpose of the socialization is you would have an identity and you wouldn't have to constantly negotiate, you know, what to do and who you are, etc.
Sure.
So it was something like, I was thinking the case of even of Vasudeva, Krishna's father, you know, that he gave over his kids at the Kamsa, you know.
Yeah.
You know, so it was kind of like this thing with like character and rules and, you know, that people would follow externally, but you know, it's hard for me to identify it because, you know, as a sannyasi, I mean, Prabhupada said, you know, avoid social intercourse, but, you know, not like days of yore. I guess it must have been something like, you know, people would take, there's one guy in the, what's it called, Swami Narayan.
Yeah.
You know, his name is Pramukh. He's like their leader, and they're very strict, you know.
Yeah.
I think he hasn't seen a woman yet.
Uh-huh.
And he lives like in a glass house or something, so that everyone could see everything he does. No, I'm serious.
How interesting.
It is. He kind of lives like in an open house, so, you know, people could always see what he does. And I was even thinking in the Mudviz, the page of a Swami, who I had met, he's like one of the main Mudviz, and somehow we got him to come to Prabhupada's centennial or something, and we had to put him in a grass hut. And he only cooked on cow dung, and he can only take bath in a holy river.
Uh-huh.
And when one of their sannyasis crossed the ocean to come to America, they banned him because he couldn't find. So it's kind of strange in one sense because, you know, Rag Marg, the whole idea is that your advancement is not the rules.
Yeah.
You know, the rules take you away from the moment. You know, I'm going to go to Mangalarti because it's a rule.
Sure.
You know, and your benefit is like you kind of check it off or something. where real bhakti, and bhakti means rag bhakti, it means with attachment, is like the focus on the moment, you know?
Yeah.
I'm not coming here because it's a rule, you know? I'm coming here because it's the moment and it's Krishna. So I would do more research, but it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, one thing that comes to mind is that, as a follow-up to the idea of it, I mean, I'm already sort of getting a picture is that for whatever reason in that time and place, it was appropriate or necessary for Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to do that, and I guess there probably were just, that was just sort of the social climate for whatever made it that way. I mean, and so perhaps I wouldn't be able to, you know, understand it from this distance. But anyway, in terms of the, you know, him having taken sannyas in the Advaita lineage, and then there being a certain set of certain expectations of his behavior.
Yeah.
Based on that, then what comes to mind is his chanting, dancing method. Did that not, if I remember correctly, didn't that become a basis for questioning or criticism that was not appropriate for his?
Isn't that interesting? Because that was with Prakasananda Saraswati when he was. When he was dancing, right?
Yeah.
You know, in chanting, they thought he was just sentimental.
Right.
So it kind of seems like maybe on one side he was kind of, you know, broadening himself.
Yeah.
And another side he was, you know, and which you keep and which you don't.
Yeah.
I have to really think about that one. But other people could think about that. Why? You know, and he was singing a cinema song. Not a cinema song, but it was like, you know, I mean, I think there was, maybe it's something like a chari, you know, he sets the example. I mean, look, you know how strict he was? You know, Chota Haridas, you know, begged rice for an old woman, banned him from his association, you know, to set the example of the acharya.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I'm going to have to think about that one. That's a good one.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to think about it. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Anybody else like to say Krishna?
Maharaj, Hare Krishna, it's Mother Indrani.
Mother Indrani, nice to hear from you again.
I have a question if you have time.
Go ahead.
In your discussion on the cleansing of the heart, and we said to receive Krishna, we have to have a calm and peaceful heart, and that we must work on it. Then you mentioned something about the fear of what to remove and give up the nothing.
Yeah.
What did that fear of what to remove? I didn't understand.
Well, thank you for that. I'm just talking personally. Whenever I have time, hasn't been the last few months, but whenever I go into some type of bhajan or deep chanting and I want to go deeper and deeper and deeper, you know, I realize that the deepness means to, you know, really surrender to Krishna and give him everything. And I realize I become fearful because there's things I'm attached to that I don't want to give up. That's what I'm meaning, you know? There's like, you know, am I really going to say to Krishna, whatever you want, I will do? Or am I fearful that the things that he'll do are things that I'm too attached to give up? And, you know, so there's a correspondence to that kind of depth of prayer. I mean, you know, in Arjuna, but of course, the confidence is when Arjuna said, Sarvadhamma, you know, excuse me, Indra.
Maraj?
Yeah, you're talking with Ajahn-Sai?
No, I'm actually finishing my class. If you can call in just 5 minutes, I'll be finished. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, so that's what I'm talking about.
Well, doesn't that refer to all of, you know, my desire has been to surrender, and I'm still working at that and desiring that calm and peaceful heart. So yeah. How does one...
I don't think we desire the peaceful heart. I think the peaceful heart comes when we become free from material desires. So I don't think that's really the goal. But it's certainly comes into play in our practices, you know. I can see that myself when, you know, my mind is disturbed by too many external things. It does affect the ability to sometimes focus in the way I want. But on the other hand, as Queen Kunti said, sometimes for someone who's advanced, those difficulties can give them the impetus to take shelter more and more.
Okay. Thank you. I may write you soon.
Please, yeah, please write me, Mother Indrani.
All right.
Anyone else like to say Hare Krishna?
Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Bo.
This is Gail again. I was wondering if I could just offer maybe a suggestion in response to Madame Mohan's last question.
Yeah.
It just occurred to me that maybe if, as he does in other respects, maybe it was is his way of demonstrating his independence from, you know, material rules and regulations. That you know, it's a way of showing that he is not, you know, bound by those things.
Which is his finally meeting the king?
No. Madame Mohan's question about. Yeah. How is it that, in one respect, he restricts himself about his dealings with, like, the kings or things that make him lose credibility as a sannyasi?
You're saying maybe it's an exhibition of his independence.
Mm.
Yeah, it's possible. I have to think about it deeper. I'm going to have to go because I actually had another appointment. The class went over, but it was real nice. So many nice questions. Thank you all. Thank you, Gail. Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevichapati Kanapabhani Glashadi.